Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, I just want to say is, and I know that we have some guests with us today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been away for a few weeks or whatever, but we have been in a series over the last number of weeks where we have been focusing on our shared values as a church, values that help unite us together with one heart. And that's the title of our series, One Heart, and we're focusing on those things that bind us together, those things that we consider to be important, non-negotiables, those things that are really in a lot of ways kind of part of the foundation, the pillars of our church. And so right now, especially in this time of transition, we're wanting to just reconnect to those things because they will serve us well going forward. They will serve you well going forward. I want to say it was great on Friday night. Barb and I had the privilege of hosting a number of folks in our part of our church family to come and explore CPC membership, and I think we had about 8 that joined us on Friday night, and I've got about another 8 or so on the list right now of people that are considering. We just haven't had a chance to connect yet, and so these are some of the things we talk about because these are the things that really help to knit us together. It's part of the fabric of our church, and so for example, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the value of loving God and loving people. The Bible describes those two points as the two great commandments, the two great commandments that Jesus left for us to follow. Love God and love your neighbor, love people as yourself. We put it out on the sign out front. I kind of get a chuckle out of it, though, because it says loving God, loving people, Sundays at 10. So it's almost like the only time we're going to love God and love people is on Sundays at 10. So hopefully people can get past that one. But it's part of who we are. We want our value. We want people to know that they are loved by God and that we are going to be people who help carry that to them as well as to our world. Last Sunday, Joel talked about the life application of God's word. Not just that we value God's word, but we value applying the word of God. We value applying the scripture to our lives because God's word without application is just basically, you know, empty words on a page. And so this needs to be part of the critical, these are critical values that help shape the future of our church. Today, we're going to talk about what I would say is really, it's a value, but I would say in many ways, it's the number one, everyone say number one, the number one mandate of the church. It's got to be priority one. It's got to be the thing that really drives our activities and what we do. And it's the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel. And one of the things we've been saying all the way along is that all of our values are attached by a behavior. Behaviors that support these values. And so the behavior in this one is that along with the proclamation and the demonstration of the gospel, we are committed to spreading the truth of God's love in word and in deed. The proclamation, the proclaiming, it's not a word we use a lot, but it's the sharing, the telling, the announcing, the declaring, and the demonstration of the gospel. Jesus said, in fact, it was one of the last things that he said before he left this earth. In Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world. These were his final words, some of his final words. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So along with the Great Commission, or the Great Commandments, Jesus also gives us the Great Commission. And those two things really go together, the Great Commands and the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach, proclaim, announce, declare the gospel. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, woe is me. Everyone go, woe. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. In other words, like, Like, he recognized how serious and how important this is. Like, he recognized that, man, he said, my life is not worth living unless I proclaim, preach the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, the word gospel, we hear that word from time to time. Even in secular, you know, they talk about, well, it's not gospel, but it's this, you know. The word gospel comes from a Greek word, for all you Greek scholars, comes, I'm not even going to give you the word because you don't need to memorize that, but it comes from a Greek word that simply means good news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. And so Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news, or good tidings, or a good message. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Look in your outline, you'll see it, and I think we have it on the screen as well, Matthew chapter 4. It says, and Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and look what it says he did, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And news, the good news about him spread everywhere. The good news of the kingdom. How many like good news? Let me just see your hands this morning. I was talking to my buddy Zeke this morning, and he was telling me about, he's running the projection today. He was telling me about the good news of how that in the roll-up to rim, the roll-up, what is it called? Roll-up the rim. He won a hot chocolate. And then he cashed it in and got a hot chocolate. He rolled up the rim. This is last year he was telling me this story. He rolled up the rim, and he got another hot chocolate. And then that hot chocolate led to another one, and then the next one led to a donut. How many would say that's pretty good? That's, if you want to improve your odds, just go to Tim Hortons with Zeke, and it's awesome. Good news. It's like a cup of joy right there. Yeah. And so Jesus came to preach good news, and we're going to get into that in a moment. But it talks about he came to proclaim. You'll see the scripture, the good news of the kingdom. And basically, the kingdom, what he's talking about, the Bible, basically, what he was saying was that the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. What you've been waiting for is now upon us. You've been waiting for a Messiah. Now, he's speaking to the Jews and speaking to people who had been hopeless and in despair and separated from God in so many ways. And now he's saying that Messiah has come. The good news has come. The kingdom of God is at hand, is here. He actually said the kingdom of God is within you, and it is within us today. Now, how many would agree this morning that in order to fully appreciate good news, we first of all need to understand the bad news? Would you agree with that? You appreciate good news far better when you can appreciate the fact that there's also bad news, or there's the potential for bad news. And so, what is the bad news? Before I go too far, I want to say this message that I'm going to share today is really, we're going to kind of break it into two parts. I'm going to give another part next week because I just felt the Holy Spirit saying to simplify all this for today and kind of focus more on one main area. And so, what is the bad news? If Jesus came proclaiming good news, what is the bad news? Well, let's just go through a few of them here. First of all, the bad news is that the Bible says that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. All means you and I. We are all sinners. We have inherited a sinful nature. And because of that sinful nature and because of sin, the bad news is that we all deserve God's wrath. We all deserve punishment. We all deserve, in actuality, we all deserve hell. And it's bad news. And this means you. This means me. This means our family. This means our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates. Everyone that has ever been born has basically come into this bad news scenario. The bad news is that because of our sin, we've been separated from a holy God. And you go right back into the time of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, we know the story, they were actually, because of their failure and disobedience and rebellion, they actually were kicked out of the garden. They were kicked out of this place where they had relationship with God. And because of sin, their fellowship with God was broken. And we've inherited that. We have that sinful gene, that sinful nature within us. The bad news is that your relationship, my relationship, has been broken with God. We are separated from God. The bad news is because of man's sinfulness, we are destitute. The bad news is we face a lost and terrifying existence without God and without hope. Let me tell you, it's going to get better, all right? But the bad, you can't fully appreciate the good news unless we understand the reality of the bad news. The bad news is also this, that we cannot save ourselves. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good, we might say, you know what, if we've got all this bad news, that just means I got to do better. It means I've got to try harder. I need to stop doing certain things. I need to be nice. I need to, whatever. And maybe that'll work. The reality is, it doesn't matter how good we are, it doesn't matter how hard we try or how much harder we try, the good news or the bad news is that we can't save ourselves. That's the reality. It's kind of like sinking in quicksand. The more you try, the more you sink. The Bible describes our best efforts to save ourselves as useless. The Bible describes our best efforts as filthy rags. No matter how righteous we might try to be, it's not good enough. There's nothing that you and I can do that's good enough to appease a God who must judge our sin. The Bible actually says, and the bad news is this, is that we are actually dead in our sins. The scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. That's not good news. That's bad news. That's the reality. But you know what? This is the kind of world, the kind of broken, hopeless world that God, in his love, sent his son Jesus into. How many are thankful for that this morning? This is the same kind of world that God has placed you and I in today. This is the same kind of world that God has placed his people in, his church in, our global workers that are serving around the world. This is the kind of world that God has placed us in. Because the world still is plagued by this bad news story. And we live in a world today that desperately needs the hope of the gospel. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus, to the world, to us. And so the bad news is all of these things and more. That we are sinners, we deserve punishment, we're lost, we're broken, we're destitute. We can't save ourselves, no matter how hard we try. But how many are glad this morning that there is a solution? That we also have good news. Good news. I want to say this morning that if you're here today, and some of you, you can relate to this in your own life right now. You feel lost. You feel broken. You feel hopeless. I want you to know there's good news for you. You might have a family member that's very much in this world. You might have a coworker, a friend, our students that are bringing their friends to Alpha. The reality, the Alpha is a way of addressing this reality of bad news. But there is hope, and there is an answer. And so the gospel is good news. So what is the good news? Let's look at a few illustrations, a few examples of what the good news is. The good news is that God loves you. How many are thankful for that today? God loves you. He loves this world. He loves your spouse. He loves your children that maybe are away from God right now. He loves them. He loves your neighbors. He loves the people of the Far East, the Middle East. Some of these countries that have actually declared that God is dead, that doesn't even exist. He loves those people. And so the good news is that God loves you. He loves us. He loves the Comox Valley. The good news is that God has a gift for you. We read earlier, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Agree? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's the good news. Along with the bad news, God has the gift. The gift of God is eternal life. That's the good news. The good news this morning, the gospel, is that God wants to save you from your sin. That God wants to save that lost friend that you've been praying for from their sin. The good news is that God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on a cross in our place as our substitute because God knew that we couldn't save ourselves. God says they can't save themselves. There's nothing that they can do that's going to satisfy my judgment of sin. And so what did God do? God said, I have the answer. I will send my substitute, my own Son, Jesus Christ. The good news is that God's grace is enough for us. We sang the song earlier, The Scandal of Grace. It was Jesus who was murdered on the cross. It should have been I, but it was Jesus who went to the cross and gave his life and demonstrated grace. And his grace is enough. There is nothing that you or I could have ever done that would not be a candidate for God's grace to be applied to. The good news this morning is that God wants to forgive you. The good news is that only God, through the power of Jesus Christ, can set us free. How many are thankful that freedom is part of the good news? That when we come to Christ, he sets us free. Are you ready for a little bit more good news? How many like good news? Absolutely. The good news is that God wants to restore you. The good news is that God wants to heal you. He wants to make all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know if that scripture's in your notes or not. In fact, I've just given you a whole bunch of random scriptures in your outline today that you can take some time this week and do a bit of a Bible study, because we're not taking time to read all of these passages. But you can read the bad news scriptures, but you can also study the good news scriptures. And one of them is the fact that the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's the good news. The good news is that the old can be gone. We become a new creation. Our identity is not in our past. Our identity is not in our history. Our identity is not in our sinfulness and in our brokenness and in our failures and in all what a lot of people get labeled. I love the way that Jesus loved to interact with the people that nobody else wanted to touch. He loved to interact with the prostitutes and the lepers and all of these people that were basically despised. Because God, Jesus, was interested in their new identity and what they could become through him. That's the good news. The good news is that God wants to restore us. The good news is that God has an amazing purpose and plan for our lives. The good news, the fact that our relationships have been broken with God through Jesus Christ, he invites us to draw near. He invites us to come close. God actually wants to have a relationship with us. And that's good news. The good news is that God has prepared a place in heaven for us. Jesus said, even as he was preparing to leave, he said, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled about what's going on in this life and in this world. He said, because I'm going to a place. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. I'm going to prepare a home for you in heaven. And God has done all of this so that we can have not only a relationship with him now, but also for eternity. Can you imagine? The bad news says that I will be separated from God forever. That's what the bad news says. The good news is that we can have a relationship and we can be with God forever. I want you to know this morning that if you're here today and you're still living in that bad news side of the equation, that there's a gift for you, that God wants, he's inviting you this morning to come and be part of his family, to accept a gift. In order for a gift to be meaningful, it has to be received. A gift can be left on the shelf. A gift can be left unopened. But it's a gift that God has offered to us freely. It's a gift that God offers to you freely. It's a gift that God offers to our community freely. Just so many people don't know that the gift is even there. And that's why we need to be a people who are the proclaimers of this good news. The good news, and I want to just move on, but one scripture in Romans 10:13, and I think it's on the screen, is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. While we are all sinners, the good news is that everyone who calls on the Lord, the name of the Lord, can be saved, will be saved. And so right now, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never opened the gift, you've never received him. Some of you might be thinking, well, you know, my life is such a mess, there's just no way possible that God could ever help me. That's a lie. The reality is there's no one here beyond, we've said this many times before, there is no one beyond the reach of God's love. There is no one, not even you, beyond the reach of God's grace. Everyone, all sinners, all hopeless, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word saved actually means, the Greek word there for the word saved actually means sozo. And I love that word because it just speaks that there's so much more attached to simply being saved from my sin. It's the word sozo means to be made whole. To be made whole. And everything that's been broken, everything that has torn your life apart, your relationship with God. And it not only does it speak of spiritual wellness, but it also speaks of physical wellness. That we can be whole, mind, body, soul, spirit. Jesus has come to make us well, to make us whole. And so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, made whole. And so what are the implications of this reality? You know, if there's bad news and there's good news and God recognized the need and did something about it, what are the implications for us as a church? What are the implications for you and I this morning? What should this mean to us? How should this influence what we value and what we consider to be important as a church? Well, the implications are great. One of those implications, the reality is that without Jesus, people are lost. Without Jesus, our friends and neighbors, the people that we love, if they don't have Jesus, they're lost. Now, I don't know about you, but that should somehow move on our hearts. If that's the reality, if that's the bad news, that people without Jesus are lost and without hope and face that eternal separation from God, it's not something we should think, oh well, who cares? No big deal. It needs to move us. It needs to grip us. Without Jesus, our community is lost. And that's why Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. If I don't proclaim the gospel, if I don't announce it, if I don't share it. And so he lived his life with that purpose and that mandate from God to take the gospel to his world. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes. Paul knew that the only power available to change a life, to transform a life, was through the power of Jesus Christ. And so, the implications of this mean that without Jesus, people are lost. Another implication of this is that it means that our primary mandate as a church needs to be, our number one mandate as a church needs to be the sharing of the gospel. It needs to be something that drives us, that motivates us, that is that underlying purpose in our lives. Our mandate as a church and as God's people, as individuals, because what I'm saying this morning is not just for us corporately as a whole group. This needs to be something that motivates us personally as well, no matter how old you are. Our primary mandate, the implication, is that we would be a people that shares the gospel with all people. Our mandate needs to be to help all people come to know the saving hope and grace of Jesus Christ. The reality is we can't be lovers of God and lovers of people without sharing the good news of Jesus. We can't. We can say, well, we love God, we love people, we can say it all we want. But the implication of that is that if they're lost and without hope and without Jesus and without a future, or they have a future, but it's not with God, they need the gospel. And so for us as a church, and I think it's fitting, again, that we're doing this on Mission Sunday, we're reminded of what, and let me say, all of these values that we're talking about, they in a lot of ways, they overlap, and that's why they're knit together. They touch each other in different ways. And a couple of weeks from now, or a few weeks from now, we're going to be actually focusing on the value of living missionally. And what does that look like? The reality is today, evangelism, which is what we're called to do, we're called to bring this story of the gospel. Evangelism is not an option, but rather it's an obligation. Would you agree with that this morning? It's not an option. It's not something that, well, you know, we're not about telling people about Jesus. That's another church can look after that one. The reality is, it's not an option. It's an obligation. It's a calling. It's a responsibility. I love the words of William Temple, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, when he said these words, and I think it's in your notes perhaps today, that the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not yet its members. A lot of times we have this notion of being a member, it's about what do I get out of it? If you go down and sign up at Costco and you become a member, the question people ask is, well, why would I want to do it? What good is it going to be for me? Why would I want to do this? And so it's all about what's in it for me. Now, I realize the church needs to be a place where it is about our maturity and our discipleship and our growth and all of that and fellowship and all that kind of thing. But the primary reason that we exist as a church is not about me or you. The primary reason is not about satisfying my wants or my desires or my needs or my preferences. We exist for those who are not yet here. And that causes us to sometimes maybe even have to think differently. at how we're going to approach our communities, how we're going to do what we do, how we're going to run programs and ministries, how we're going to even run our Sunday gatherings. It has implications for a lot of things, because the reality is we exist for those who are not yet with us. And so everything we do as part of our value and applying this value, everything we do must connect in some way to reaching lost people for Jesus. Every activity we do must have a connection to lost people. Every ministry, every decision we make, every budget line, we're kind of in that time right now as a church, has to have some way of connecting to our mission to reach lost people for Jesus Christ. And so even I think of those that come in every week and volunteer, maybe it's cleaning our church, cleaning toilets, or you know, trying to make this facility presentable. There's a connection that it's not just, you know, we want to be, you know, like the best looking restaurant in town. It's about reaching people. When people come, our friends, our guests, you invite your neighbors to come. You want it to be a place that is going to be pleasant and it's not going to drive them away because of the stinky bathroom or whatever. And so everything we do has to have some kind of connection, a thread to the reaching of lost people for Jesus. And so we talk about the mandate, our mandate as a church, the mandate of heaven. The mandate of heaven was to reach a world, a broken, separated world with God's love. And God, in his love, it was sort of like a whatever it takes attitude. God saw this world and saw the need and saw the brokenness and saw the desperation, saw these people trying so hard to work their way back to God, and there was just no hope, there was no solution. And so in Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated, there's that word demonstrated, and we're going to spend more time on that next week, but God demonstrated his own love, his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The mandate of heaven, the mandate of heaven was that God loves you and God was willing to do something about it. God was willing to demonstrate that love. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, talking about the values of heaven. There's one place in the Bible where it says that heaven gets really super fired up and excited, and it's way better than a Canadian Olympian winning a gold medal. There's just what, you know what gets heaven and the, you know, the crowd, the angels begin to celebrate and rejoice and have a big party. What is it that gets heaven excited? It's when one sinner, one person repents and gives their life to Jesus Christ. That's what heaven gets excited about. That's what heaven gets jacked up about. When one sinner. And so you see it, it's the value of heaven. If it's the value of heaven and it's the heart of God, then it needs to be in our heart as well as a church. So next Sunday, we're going to give some more focus to this whole aspect of the demonstration of the gospel. But I want to just, and we're going to do something here special in just a moment. But I want to share with you today just one quick example of demonstration of the gospel. And as many of you know, we have some friends, CPC friends, who are they're from Alberta. They have lived for many years in Calgary area, and they come to the Comox Valley in the summertime, and they've got family here and relatives and so on, and so they've made CPC their home church when they're with us for a couple of months in the summer. And it's Darcy and Carrie Cuthill. And if we can, there's a picture of them. How many recognize this couple? Yeah, many, a number of you. Just an awesome, beautiful couple who love Jesus. Carrie has been in business and so on. And they decided that they wanted to be more about the gospel and making a difference with their lives. And while they could do that at home, and they do that at home, they do that when they come to the valley here, they decided to move down into the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And they're right now working with 5 different projects that they're involved in. And they're not part of our global workers by any means. But this CPC has become their home church when they're with us in the summertime. And we've had some amazing conversations with them. But just this past week, and this is the connection I want to make. Just this past week, where they are serving, their little church that they connect with on a regular basis, just had the privilege of having Samaritan's Purse come with a whole truckload of Christmas Samaritan Purse shoe boxes. And so maybe just back up maybe one slide there, Zeke. You'll see this. So I talked to Darcy on the phone this week. She phoned me from Mexico, and we had this great conversation. And they just live and breathe their community. They could be doing all kinds of things with their lives, but they just live and breathe wanting to reach people. And so they've come alongside this little church. And she said the church is very, very poor. She said we're in this neighborhood. She said that only 1/3 of the people actually have a toilet in their homes. And it's just poor, brokenness, marriage breakdown, alcoholism. Everything's going on there that's all bad news. Let's face it, bad news. And so Samaritan's Purse comes, and they were aware of all of this. And so the little church would typically might only have 15 or 20 people on a Sunday. And the pastor, he's poor. They just have nothing. He was so excited when they had this opportunity basically to demonstrate the gospel. And so they got the word out, they planned a party, got all the chairs set out, and the kids started coming. Their families kind of hovered around in the background, she said. And you can go to the next slide there, Zeke. And you can see that's Carrie there helping to hand out the boxes. And the kids are coming in. And go to the next slide if you can. We got a few pictures here. And the one thing that Darcy shared with us, one of the things she said, tell the people, don't stop packing the boxes. I know it's only February. But my wife, she gathers stuff all year long and starts putting it aside so that she can put it in the boxes. It's a great way to do it. But she said it was so cute. She said, these kids basically have nothing, and all of a sudden they got this box, and they begin to take off the wrapper, and they open it up, squealing. They were so excited. One of them pulled out, she said, a washcloth out of her box, and she looked at the washcloth and started shaking it, and she started squealing. She was so excited. And then she pulled out a pen or a pencil and then an eraser and got all fired up about this eraser. And Darcy was just saying, Dave, she said, it was absolutely amazing to see the excitement and the joy upon these kids' faces. Go to the next slide. Here's where I want to make this connection. Each box had like a little booklet. Mayor Ragolo, I don't know if I said that right, and it simply means the best gift or the greatest gift. And so then they have this opportunity not only to demonstrate the gospel, but to be able to share the gospel, proclaim the gospel, and tell these children about Jesus. One of the kids said, or some of them were talking to each other, and they overheard it. They were saying, why would anyone do this for us? What a thought-provoking question. Why would people, who would do this for us? Why would anyone do this for us? And they had a chance to share with them. It's because people love you, and there's a God who loves you, and there's a God who cares about you. And she said, like, close to 90 kids came that day. And she said, it's not a one-box wonder. But she said it becomes just one little cog in the wheel, one little way that we get to share the love of God with these children. And the pastor, Pastor Ricardo, was so excited that he had this privilege of actually being able to put something in these kids' hands. And it represented to them a generous, overflowing God. How many are thankful that God is an extravagant God? And these kids got a chance to experience that. And so that's just one simple example of demonstration. And as a church, we get to do all of these things on a regular basis. You get to do it in your life. And we're going to talk more about that. But I wanted to close this morning with that story, because it's the demonstration that helps to bring the good news alive. Does that make sense? It's the demonstration that helps to bring alive the good news of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that we would be good news people to our communities. And before we close, we have something special we want to do. And I'm going to invite Faye Schellenberg, if she would come to the platform right now. Because here's a little bit of a connection. There she is, right there. Faye, as many of you know, has been, for the last number of years, come on up here, Faye, has been our director for not only our church, but also for the Comox Valley, for Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. And she has been just an amazing gift to us and working with her team. And she is kind of passing the baton right now to others who are going to be taking on the leadership of this ministry. But we wanted to thank you, Faye, for being a great demonstration of God's love. And I'm going to ask my wife to come, and we have a little token of our appreciation for you. And we just want you to know that you've been a difference maker. And I forget exactly how many boxes have gone out of this church over the last 20 years, but literally probably close to 30 or 40,000 boxes have gone out of this place over the last number of years. And Faye has been a big part of that. And so and those who are going to pick up the torch going forward, I know she's still going to help and serve in the background, but it's just, again, one example of how that we can come alongside children. Sometimes we wonder, where do these boxes end up? We see pictures, but what I love this week, Faye, was this real-life story coming from Darcy, and maybe that next summer, when they're back here in the valley, we'll have a chance to kind of hear their story personally. This lady, that the Darcy there, she, last summer, she went out, her and her daughters went out and bought like 100, enough chicken and food to serve 100 people down around the bridges and homeless and all kinds of people. And Faye, you're one of those people that just demonstrate the goodness and love of God. We want to thank you for that. So keep going, keep blessing, and amen. So part B of this talk will come next Sunday. We'll see where it goes, but I'd love to, if there's any stories, if there's any examples that you might have of where you've seen an operation or have experienced the demonstration of the gospel. Maybe someone loved you like Jesus. Maybe someone demonstrated love to you, and that became part of helping bring you to Christ. I know there are many of you that have experienced that. And so let's pray. Father, right now, we just want to give you thanks. And on this Family Day weekend, we thank you that we have the best news on earth. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ that we get to proclaim, we get to share. And Lord, I pray right now, if there is anyone in this place today who has not yet received this good news, that even in this moment, that they would welcome Jesus into their life. And that as a church, we can come alongside. We thank you for the Cuthills and what they're doing in Mexico. We thank you for Faye and the team of leading our valley and people in our church to find ways that we can demonstrate your love through things like shoeboxes. And we just ask, oh God, that we can be people who demonstrate a generous, overflowing God. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.